You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So Transnet's still having a couple of issues privatizing that Durban port. If you remember back in July of last year, there was a tender process that went through. There was a preferred bidder that was announced, and then the drama began. That drama is not over. It looks as though there's been another court judgment in that matter. And I'm joined on the line by Glenn Robbins, who's an independent economist, to take a look at this, try and make sense of it and see what it means. Good evening, Glenn. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the interdict itself and what was happening in court. I mean, the last we heard about this case was that there was an extension that was granted on the validity of the tender process from the 30th of September to the 25th of March next year. There is a preferred bidder in place, but what was the court interdict about?
Essentially, what the court has done is say that there's sufficient information that the court feels is valid that would allow for AP Moller, the entity that's contesting the award of the concession, to have their matters heard. So effectively, the court is blocking Transnet from implementing that concession agreement with ICTSI. And now this matter goes before the courts to be heard in full as to whether or not the manner in which Transnet adjudicated the concession is valid in terms of the procedures that they themselves set out.
Glenn, do we know from AP Moller's perspective what it is they're looking to achieve with this? Are they trying to have the entire tender process restarted? Are they trying to remove the elected preferred bidder? Do we kind of have an idea of what their ultimate goal is here?
Well, I mean, they, as you might expect, don't have much to say in public about these kinds of matters, but effectively they feel that there was a decision that was made that was unfair and that lacked validity in terms of due process. And they would put it to the courts that basically that the Transnet would need to adjudicate the concession from scratch, applying the measures as they originally set out. So the court would need to determine whether or not that would be an appropriate remedy, and AP Moller might have other remedies that they might seek, but we won't know until that case actually begins on the substantive matters.
Glenn, you mentioned that the interdict seeks to prevent Transnet from proceeding with the implementation of this privatization initiative from their part. Does it affect the ongoing operations right now of the port? Is this legal battle having a negative impact on actual operations?
I mean, Transnet continue through TPT, Transnet Port Terminals, to run the facility in the same way that they've been running it previously, but hopefully with some improvements along the way. And they have made it clear that they will continue to provide an uninterrupted service. And so in that sense, what it delays, though, is the introduction of this new company that would be formed with joint shareholding between Transnet and the concession party, who would then both invest in kind of capital equipment to recapitalize the terminal and bring in new management capabilities, technology to improve the standards of performance in the terminal. So it kind of postpones some of that because Transnet basically doesn't have the funds to commit to major capital works. And secondly, it's found it very challenging to turn around some of the struggling aspects of its performance in and around that container terminal.
Glenn, do we know if these delays are going to have an impact on Transnet's balance sheet? I mean, you mentioned obviously not having the cost to outlay the capex required to refurbish and expand the terminal and everything. As the terminal currently stands, is it a profitable terminal for Transnet, or is it costing them money and that's probably why they wanted to privatize it in the first place?
I mean, you know, Transnet is making money on the terminal. It's doing business. It's just doing it in an suboptimal way. And I mean, effectively, Transnet run a effectively a monopoly around container handling around our ports. There are a couple of smaller terminals that do handle some containers. So there's not really anywhere else people who want to move cargo can go. I mean, they can try insist on using some of the other ports and within the Transnet stable, and that might bring some business away from the Port of Durban and that particular terminal. But what it does do, if there's continued sort of poor performance, then the shipping lines will impose basically penalty fees on the port for making calls into the Port of Durban to try and recover the costs of delays and slow performance in terms of container handling. And that gets passed on to the people who own the cargo, and that in turn gets passed on to us as consumers. And it affects our competitiveness and export terms. It also affects the prices we ultimately pay, whether it's in the supermarket or, you know, in terms of spare parts for machinery and equipment and the like. So, you know, what Transnet are doing is that they have made commitments, and Treasury has allowed them to put in orders for some new equipment to, so it's not as if they're doing nothing in the terminal by any means. They are working quite hard to, under the sort of supervision of the National Logistics Crisis Committee, to try and improve matters. So some of that equipment will come through next year. There have been quite considerable delays in procurement of straddle carriers and cranes and the like. So they're not standing still, but it doesn't really look good for dealing with the sort of really urgent underlying performance matters that ultimately everyone was hoping this new arrangement would resolve for the sort of medium to longer term future.
Glenn, is there merit in revisiting the tendering process? I mean, looking back at some of the information that we have, we know that AP Moller had offered 2 billion rand less than what the preferred bidder was for the stake in the terminal. Is there any merit in saying, let's scrap everything, start over for the sake of moving this along and not having protracted court battles?
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the kind of courts set out in terms of their findings, whether they find that ultimately the tender needed to be rerun. And we'll, you know, that's really something the lawyers will battle over. I mean, Transnet could try and withdraw the whole arrangement and start from scratch anyway, but it would probably be interdicted from doing that by TSI, who in a sense are the ones who hold the award as it is at the moment. So they're in a really challenging position. I think, you know, this hasn't been a surprise to many people who watch the port closely. I think there was a sense that maybe under the crisis that the ports were experiencing, you know, in 2021-22, and that Transnet sort of was under huge pressure to, I suppose what you could say is kind of rush this process. And if you also think about it, that Transnet's own systems of governance and its own internal processes have really been taking a knock in the past decade. And those are only really being rebuilt at present. So what it means is that, you know, all sorts of parties that do business with Transnet know that they're in a particularly weak and vulnerable position. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily make for a process that has a lot of widespread kind of buy-in from different stakeholders. And I think even the National Logistics Crisis Committee were kind of quite concerned about some of the terms that Transnet tried to put in the original concession arrangements, including on the rail deals. And, you know, effectively the bulk of those arrangements have all ended up in encountering challenges of one sort or another. And, you know, I think there are questions to be asked about the extent to which there's real capacity and whether or not a more kind of cautious process, perhaps drawing on much wider and deeper expertise and knowledge, might not have been a better way to go. But that wasn't done, and we are where we are now.
Sometimes it feels like one step forward and two steps back, but we'll have to wait and see how the story unfolds. For now, we'll keep an eye on the news updates as well as the court releases. Thank you so much, Glenn, for the time and for the insights. That's Glenn Robbins, who is an independent economist, on the latest developments in Transnet's bid to privatize their Durban port.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.